preaching is important. He wrote about Parashram, and towards the later years of Prabhupada's time with us, he elaborated more on that. And it's reported that he said that 50% of my work is not done for not having, I still have to show with Varnashram. So if you think what Prabhupada did, 50% is a lot. Prabhupada was pushing a lot that people should live on the land, devotees should live on the land, live simply, produce their own food, and chant Hare Krishna. This is very revolutionary, that it means a rejection of the modern society, that we live in communities among ourselves, devotees. We hardly associate. If we live on farms together, we don't associate with non-devotees, we associate only with devotees. By producing our own necessities, minimal necessities, then we don't have to live in the city, get a job or do like this, which forces us to associate with non-devotees. And as Prabhupada said, modern leaders will force you to work like hogs and dogs and asses. You just simply have to work. And we have to live according to the standards of the Kali society. We have to associate with non-devotees. And naturally, there's not enough time for sadhana. There won't be inclination for it due to that association either. So Prabhupada, it's not that he didn't talk about social development, but he gave a revolutionary idea. Just like one time, I'll just give an example. Many times Prabhupada spoke about the cat, dog, hog society. So one time some reporter came into Prabhupada's room and said, Swamiji, your disciples, don't you think they look very strange the way they're dressed? Prabhupada looked at him and said, my disciples are like diamonds in your filthy society. The man walked out. So Prabhupada was disgusted with this society. I mean, even though India today is degraded, when you come from India to the West, and you see women walking around with their legs showing and their breasts sticking out. It's just so uncultured, there's no class. But this is the normal, it's just one example of normal society in the modern world. So Prabhupada wanted that we produce our own. How this is so revolutionary, it means that we reject your society. We don't want to live in your society. And it's very revolutionary that Prabhupada said we produce all that we need, self-sufficiency. We don't even need money. Once you use money, then you're trapped in their society. And you have to earn it, and then you have to spend it. And the whole idea is to make modern education is to make people workers and consumers. Work, buy. All things that you don't need. People are trapped in this. And the minimum necessities of life are food, clothing, shelter, and sex. These are the basic necessities of the body. And sex is also not 100% essential, but most people feel something of it. So that can all be got very simply. But now you need food, clothing, shelter, lots of clothing, all different varieties of food from all over the world. And it's not just enough to have a simple house, you have to have a fancy house with TV, car, washing machine, electricity, which you have to pay for, so you have to work for it. Just like the other day, someone was talking in Vienna, someone was saying, this is brought some bottled water and said, it's not bottled water, it's normal water. I said, what do you mean normal water? The one that comes from the pipe. You know, and I said, just see, this is modern civilization. We think that normal water comes from a pipe. Normal water doesn't come from a pipe, it comes from the earth. But we think it's normal that it comes from a pipe. So these are necessities. Food, clothing, shelter, and sex, sex with one partner throughout life, that's also not enough in the modern life. So we have so many necessities which we have to work for when we get in so much anxiety. So Prabhupada's revolutionary plan was to go to the land, but we have more or less given up on that. We think, well, it's not possible, it's too austere. Too austere, yeah, maybe a little austere, you have to go out in the winter and chop the wood and all this and that, but in modern life it's also austere. You have to, most people are working in, they're working in jobs that they don't like to do. They're working for people that they don't like. I'm talking about the companies. You're working for people. Many people don't even know who they're working for. They work in some big multinational corporation. There's no chance of them ever meeting the boss, and they have no idea who he is. They don't know who they're working for. And no one cares for anyone else. So that's austere, and it's austere that nowadays they think both husband and wife have to work, otherwise there's not enough money. Then the wife is at work all day with other men apart from her husband. She knows them better than the husband. And after some time she thinks, what do I need my husband for? This guy, why don't I try him out? And this way the whole family life is broken down. And this is austere. City life is austere. But because we can walk in and flick a switch and we get light, and we get heat, and we get normal water in a pipe, we think that, you know, there's milk, you just go, you don't have to keep a cow, you just fill a pipe. Normal water is in a pipe and normal milk is in a packet. Milk comes from a packet and vegetables come from a shop and light comes from a switch. So now we're talking about social development in terms of how to fit in Kali society. The devotees don't fit in Kali society. We're an anomaly. Kali society. We don't, it's a square peg in a round hole. And what we're doing, we're different, we're square peg. You know the saying, do you know that in your language? Square peg, it's an English saying. A square peg in a round hole. It means something that doesn't fit. It's not meant to be there. No, this example is better. A square peg in a round hole. The hole is round, and you're trying to put a peg or which is square, rectangular. You're trying to fit, it doesn't fit properly. It's not meant to go in there. So in the same way, we're trying to fit devotees into Kami society. They don't fit. So the only way we can fit is to become like Kamis, and then we lose our Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada could see this. Therefore, he gave already the commentary for social development. But we don't want to do that, so we have another idea. And we, you know, it's always a big problem because it doesn't work. Because square pegs don't fit in round holes. We're trying to do something which is not by, at the very beginning, it's not a very possible proposition that we can be Krishna conscious living among people who are not Krishna conscious. It's the first symptom of a devotee. Asat sangatya, e vaishnavacha. So devotees can live in the cities to preach. If we're attacking Maya, then we can remain strong. But if we're taking shelter of Maya, then how can we take shelter of Krishna? So Prabhupada already gave the idea of a social development. It's just that we don't want to accept it. We have another idea. We think that Prabhupada would preach differently. Now Prabhupada told us what to do already, and we're trying to avoid that and saying, well, Prabhupada would have told us to do this. He already told us what to do. That's my question. Social development. Yeah, I want to say something. I just to add to that, social development becoming part of Kami society, and Kami society in modern world is extremely degraded. So we're importing all these things, and we're trying to make it Krishna conscious and justified in Prabhupada's name. Divorce, women's liberation. And now homosexuality. Some of our big leaders are proposing that we should have homosexual communities within our movement. Yes, we're trying to become part of the modern world and live according to their standards. And trying to justify that. Actually, in Vedic culture, homosexuality is considered auspicious. I think it's a joke. One of our geniuses is preaching this. homosexuals are considered suspicious. So, this is what comes when we compromise. If we, Prabhupada's instructions are perfect, and if we follow them, then we will be perfect. And if we don't follow them, then we'll either ascribe imperfection to Srila Prabhupada, or we'll adjust his, we'll think we are more perfect than Prabhupada, and we'll come up with a more perfect formula, and say, so-called more perfect formula, and say, well, this is actually what Prabhupada would have preached nowadays. He already gave us everything.
Please, I'd like to speak to other writers. I just said that some devotees, they say we should walk in backwards, this because then we get rent or dish.
Then we get what?
We get pension.
Then you get a pension, yeah? If you're a good karmi all your life, you'll get a pension. They'll look after you all the way to the grave and then beyond. That's looked after by a Yamaraj. That's the thing, we're taking Krishna, actually for thousands of years, people lived by Krishna's gifts. Money was not required. Krishna gives everything from the land. It's only a modern idea that you have to give money, then you get a packet of milk. Give money, then you get vegetables. Everyone grew their own vegetables. Maybe it's some people, Brahmins, they people would give them. We are so much brainwashed by modern society that we think this is the only way to live. We have to live like, if I don't get a degree, then how can I get a job and how can I live? This is training in Shudra mentality, Prabhupada. And people think you have to get a degree, then you can go door to door and pay. Please give me a job. Please give me a job. Oh, I got a very good job. Prabhupada said it's just the society of Shudras. Prabhupada is trying to elevate us to the platform of Brahmins. But now we're saying, better that we all become Shudras. And then what kind of philosophy can we expect from Shudras? Prabhupada would have spoken something else. Prabhupada never wanted us to become Shudras. He wanted us to become the leaders of society, to give a new spiritual direction, not to become a part of this cat-dog, bottomless, topless society. All the sophisticated men with their suits and ties, they're all going to the topless, bottomless bars. These are respectable people. Prabhupada never wanted us to become bottomless. And we want social development. Anyway, this could turn into a social development discussion. It's supposed to be praise of Prabhupada. Like I said, real praise of Prabhupada is if we can manifest his desires in society instead of trying to adjust our desires and put Prabhupada's label on them. Then it becomes Christianity. You see, they keep the picture of Jesus. Actually, they crucify him. They keep him on the cross. They keep him on the cross forever. And they go to church once a week and they pray to him and then they don't follow his instructions. Jesus said, you cannot love mammon and love God. Mammon means material enjoyment. So he's just there for blessing, that's all. As for his instructions, well, that's compromise. Jesus was, you know, he was a pretty fanatical kind of person, and if you want to, what people nowadays would call fanatical, he was just walking along, and he saw some fishermen, and they were, they had their families and everything. He said, hey, drop your nets, come and join me on the spot. They just gave up their families and came and joined him. So, that's the way preachers preach. I've got something more important for you. I'm making you fishers of men. You have to catch men and put them in the net. That was his preaching. Jesus also said some of the things. I have not come to join son to father and father to son, but to turn them against each other. It didn't get edited out of the Bible. Lots of things did. That didn't. But you don't hear that being preached very much. So let's not make this compromise. Now the churches, they're having gay priests and gay marriages. Let's keep. This movement is meant to be make a revolution. It's a spiritual revolution. Not that we just go back to the common life. Then where's the development? Then what's the meaning of social development? Real development is spiritual development. That we should see to first. Everything else is subservient to that. If we think we have to do social development first, and then spiritual development later, then we end up in a factory. But if we understand that our spiritual development is most important, and we develop our social life on the basis of that rather than vice versa, then we can actually be Christian.
I just want to mention regarding the pensions, since pensions were mentioned. Maybe it's good to note that most developed states, economically developed states of today, already spent their money for the future generation of pensions long time ago. Please be aware of that. United States of America is the most indebted place in the whole world. Just debts. Germany is wondering how they're going to pay pensions for the next generation of people because the money is not there anymore. It's
expensive. Also here they cannot live.
So if somebody comes with a pension, I'm now staying in Czech Republic.
Yeah, that's another point. The pension in most countries is not allowed to live anyway.
It's just
they give it to you at the 20 years ago rate. And then you get nothing. It's all worked out to be nothing.
Even it's the same pension they promised you 30, 40 years ago. By the time it coming, the inflation chewed it up to such a degree you can buy yourself two packs of milk and one piece of bread. And it's, so, I mean, this is a very weak.
As weak, yeah.
This pension concerns.
Yes, all the politicians are cheating. All the countries owe something. Who they are owed to? Someone's got a lot of money somewhere. It's all cheating. Money. This money allows the governments to cheat. Probably saw through it all. They can just manipulate it. Your pension. Oh, yeah, you want a pension. But now they're bringing in more and more this idea of euthanasia. When you get old and you can't work, they kill you! Because they can't pay your pension. So they say, when you're old and you're sick. So it's better that you just die. That's it. That's the solution the governments have come up with. Then you don't have to pay the pension. Just have an injection. Now they're allowing it, and then after some time it'll be by force. Now it's legal, and in Holland at least, more and more they're promoting it. Actually, it's a very good thing. Just see how they money it. And actually, old people are useless. In modern life, old people are useless because they can't work and they can't contribute to your sense gratification. And there's nothing, what's the point? So you might as well kill them because the whole society is only meant for sense gratification. In spiritually oriented societies, old people from birth, they were imbibing spiritual knowledge. So by the time they're old, they were full of spiritual knowledge and they could help the younger generations come up spiritually. They'd be respected for that. But in the modern age, sense gratification is the only goal of life, and old people are just a burden. You have to look after them, and that impedes your sense gratification, and it costs money, and that impedes your sense gratification. And you can't enjoy with them, they have nothing to enjoy, so why should they live? They've got nothing to add to society, they're just a burden on society. because society's only goal is sense gratification. So kill them. Makes sense. It's logical. That's it. Enjoy your pension.
Yeah, please.
How do you comment that
Ramananda
Roy had a pension?
Ramananda Roy had a pension.
He got from the king.
He got from the king, yes, because the king was so pleased that he gave up his responsible job in his service because he's just going to spend all his time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing spiritual topics. But he was a family man, so the king said, yes, you take to support your family, you take this. He voluntarily gave it. Because he, and that is in Vedic culture, Brahmanas, they're supported by society voluntarily. The king voluntarily gave it. It wasn't that he had a whole pension scheme. Brahmanas are supported, they live a simple life, and they're supported by society, who people voluntarily give because they appreciate that the Brahmanas are giving us such valuable things and wonderful spiritual knowledge and material knowledge also. So they appreciated it and they gave it. And all people will be supported. What to speak of all people, even all animals should be supported. Because they worked all their life, but now they kill the animals because the cows and bulls are just an economic object. So this whole society is very, very simple. And why devotees want to take part in it when they think it's too difficult to live on the land. Most people in this country still live on the land. With machines, yeah. Worse than in the city? Yeah, I mean, they're not enlightened. Simply living on the land doesn't mean that you're enlightened. It's simple living and high thinking, not simple living and low thinking. There's no value to living on the land and living with the consciousness of the pigs on the land. The point is to be Krishna conscious. But I'm making the point that people, the devotees, are thinking it's too difficult to live on the land, but so many people are doing so. That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying they're all self-realizing because they're living on the land. So this is the best, I mean, actually it's true that the devotees are coming and we should give them some guidance, how they can live their whole lives in Krishna consciousness. Some plan should be there. Otherwise we see people come, they take up Krishna consciousness, and mostly nowadays it's what we call congregational devotees, and often they don't go very far, and it's very difficult to do anything now because they're just so busy making a living. And unless we have time every day for sadhana and service, then how are we going to advance? But household devotees are just so busy with maintaining their families that to fit in 16 rounds, it's like an achievement. And what's the quality of those rounds also? So yeah, we should think about social development very seriously. There's no development in the city life. There may be a few who are able to do it, maybe because of circumstances, maybe they have money from their parents or something like that. There's not many in this country like that. Or they're very expert and they're able to do some business or something without spending much time. There are a few, but for the majority of devotees, they're just sucked into the economic whirlpool which sucks them down into kami life practically. And if they can chant a few rounds here and there, maybe come to the temple on Sunday, that's about it. So there's not much hope of advancement in such a situation. It's difficult. We're not condemning you for that, but we're just talking about reality. So wouldn't it be better even to accept the austerity of living? And actually, after some time, you get to like it because you know, it's actually a very pleasant way of life instead of living in the. The thing is, we're just addicted to city life. It's like we get the adrenaline, it's like drug addicts. So they're addicted to the. Or it's like you take coffee and then you get an adrenaline boost, and then we can't live without that. So in the city, it's like, it's very rajasic. They get this kind of, we get this adrenaline all the time, juke in our system. But we can't imagine living without them. And when we go to the country, then people live in the city, when they go to the country, they can't sleep at first because it's too quiet. That's true. And they're just used to the sound of noises and all this. And it's too relaxed. It's too peaceful. But after some time, we don't appreciate it because we're in Rajagun. We don't appreciate Sattvagun. But after some time, we get to appreciate it. It's actually very nice to live like this. It's a much better way of life. There are some difficulties. But then, actually, Prabhupada said the main point in living on the land is to save time to chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, you think, well, the farmers, they're so busy. But they're busy because they're part of the modern economic system in which you have to produce more than you need to get back more than you need. So you can get to have a machine, the machines to work on the land, you have to produce money from your farming to keep to pay the payments on the machine and then when they get broken and all this. So they're caught in the economic trap that you have to work more than to produce more than you need. And they're doing cash crops. And if the crop fails, or if there's overproduction, either it fails or there's overproduction, either way, you don't make any money. Then you go in debt to the bank. But natural living is you just produce what you need, and then you have all various kinds of crops. So, and you keep a stock of grains. If there's overproduction, you keep a stock. So if the next year there's a shortage, then you're still there, okay. And you produce various crops, so various crops means you different vegetables for your family and this and that. So if one of them fails, then at least you get the other one. So people are working very hard on the land in modern life because they're doing agribusiness, growing cash crops and producing animals for slaughter for cash. But it's not actually necessary to do so. There is hard work, but it's mostly seasonal. In this country, during the winter, you won't have so much work because there's no farming. Another thing is living on the land is that not everyone's a farmer. It's only a certain number of people do farming full time. Everyone, even recently, you'll find that everyone, probably even still in Slovenia, outside of Ljubljana, maybe Maribor, even if they're a teacher or a doctor, whatever, they grow some food for themselves also. It's still like that, probably in the middle. Whatever you're doing, you still have some land and you grow something. So everyone will grow something or maybe have at least one or two cows. But they may be, like I said, teacher, doctor, whatever. So it's not that everyone's full-time engaged on the land. Some people are, but even those who are full-time engaged, like I said, during the winter there's nothing to do. And at least on the land, there are other things like, you may sharpen up your instruments, or maybe do some carpentry work, or things. And there are always things to do, but you have, during the year, there's work every day. Cows, for instance, you have to look after them every day. There's nothing wrong with work, by the way. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Sharira yatra bhita te na prasiddhya da karmana. Even to maintain the body, one has to do some work. Everyone has to do some work. So, but the intense work comes just like when there's plowing and sowing and harvesting. Otherwise, a lot of the time, the plants are just growing. And there's a little bit of weeding and maybe watering. And a lot of the time, you're just watching the plants. I mean, there's always some different plant to plant. But it doesn't have to be intense work all the time. And then you say, another thing is, save time means, if you don't use electricity, then we're living in darkness a lot of the time. And in darkness, you can't do much work. You can chant Hare Krishna. So you get at least 50% of the year. Of course, some of the time is spent sleeping also. But we get time. In modern life, we think we have to work morning to night and through the night because electricity gives that facility. But if we don't have electricity, then automatically the work comes to end at sunset. Then you chant Hare Krishna. If we can do this, this will be very pleasant. But there's no reason not to. It's a suggestion. Recently I was in Dubai, where we have many Indian devotees in our congregation. So I opened up the lecture by saying that, well, Srila Prabhupada gave us a program where morning and evening we come together, and if you add it up, it comes to at least 6.5 hours of sadhana every day. There are about 400 people there. So I asked, how many of you do 6.5 hours sadhana every day? They're all working people. And two Matajis put their hands up. That was two more than I expected. But they're staying at home, so maybe they have some time. Then I asked, how many of you would like to do 6.5 hours sadhana a day? And all the hands went up. Then I made the point that in modern life, it's set up so you can't do it. What is our real necessity? Our real necessity, food, clothing, shelter, that's automatically provided. It's not that we should be in so much anxiety for food, clothing, and shelter. It's given by God. We're in total anxiety how to get these things. We need to get some money, how to get some money. It's so complex. By the grace of God, everything is there. We make society so complex that we're in total anxiety to see the basic necessities of living. But our real necessity is to hear and chant about Krishna, but we don't have time to do it. So then I gave what Prabhupada's proposal is. Go to them. I said, I don't think any of you will take this very seriously, but at least you could start to think about it. Because what they're thinking is, you see, we'll work now, and I was saying this, that they're thinking, we'll work now, and then when we're older, we'll retire, then we'll have time for sadhana. But what about now having time for sadhana? It can be right now. You don't have to wait till you're 65 to have time for sadhana. You can have time right now. So, I was just giving the suggestion, but actually some of them took it very seriously. Yes. Why do I have to live like this? I don't want to live like this. Very rushed life, rush off to the office, working in some job which is don't like, but working with people I don't like, working for people I don't like, doing something I don't want to do, which is actually all the modern jobs, they're all sinful. They're all just like one devotee, and I said, well, I got a job in a bank. You see, that's, you know, it's not that unsafe. I said, my dear sir, these banks, these are the ones that are financing slaughterhouses. They're doing all the money laundering, it comes through these banks, but all the drug business, all the big businesses in the world, and all this weapons business. It's all, you don't see it. The money looks clean to you, but it's all got blood on it. So, it's very difficult to find any really clean business. This was Prabhupada's idea. And we continue to do it right now if you want. This is a great idea for social development. So, Brahman, Kshatriya, or Vaishya means someone, he doesn't depend on someone else. People are always saying, well, ISKCON has to make some social development. But actually, if you're not a Shudra, then you should be able to look after yourself. If you think I have to be employed by someone, then it's definitely not very brahminical nature. So, be bold. Krishna will look after you.
Hare Krishna.
See, I'm one of these, they call me a dinosaur. Or a fundamentalist. I take it as a compliment. Dinosaur means they wish I was extinct. But and fundamentalist is a term which means, you know, in modern language, fundamentalist means someone who's fanatic, but fundamentalist means someone who believes in the fundamentals. So I happen to believe in what Srila Prabhupada said, and everything he said is perfect. And if we simply follow it, then everything will be perfect, and we don't have to change it or speculate that if Prabhupada was here now, he'd say something different. And therefore, we shall say something different, and this is what Prabhupada would have said if he was here now. I don't follow that. I'm a fundamentalist. So, dinosaur means something from a previous age, but Prabhupada's what he gave us is perfect. We don't really. Not only do we not have to change it, but if we change it, then we lost our contact with Prabhupada. So we should have faith. We Guru Mukha Bhagma Vakichitete Korea Aika Arna Korea Mani Asha. When what the Lord, the words of the Lord's mouth of our spiritual master, we put that in our heart and we don't desire anything else. Power comes, spiritual power comes from faith in the words of the Guru. And the Parampara works by simply having faith in the words of the Guru, repeating them, following them, and teaching others to do so. And as soon as we change, then the Parampara is broken. And there's no spiritual potency, and we become mundane. Prabhupada gave us everything. We don't have to speculate on what he would have changed now.